Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WIRI's Playmakers. Michael and James here with you. I should say, let me get that right. Our sports director here at the studios, Michael Comer and James, with you, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Feel free to join us. Conversation is yours to be had. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We're wide open. Hit us in the numbers. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. Want to start off the show thanking our great friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, sponsoring this hour, giving us a chance to hang out with y'all and get your sports takes and feelings out of your system. Don't leave them in there, man. Get them out and let us know. Michael and I are going to be talking about a couple of things this morning, or this afternoon. WIAA made some rule changes I want to get into with you, Michael, and also want to talk a little bit about the NFL draft. I haven't gotten to talk to you about that since it is all completed. I want to get your takes on every single one of those picks, because God, I love the draft, and I want to talk about it with you. Certainly want to talk about anything you guys want to talk about out there. In case there's anybody new to the show, this is how it works. Michael and I come in here with a game plan, and then you guys come in and change it. You guys go ahead and decide what we talk about. If Michael and I want to talk football, but you want to talk soccer, we will talk soccer.
Oh,
whatever
you
want to talk about, man. Call up and join the conversation and let us know. We've got a couple of good stories of the show, too, I want to get to, Michael. But I'm compelled to start in one place. The moving on of a champion. That doesn't happen that often. Now, in Wisconsin, you guys are fortunate. You guys have had this a handful of times, going back to Kareem.
Yep.
But even before that, if you look at Favre and Rodgers, you look at letting go of legends, letting them move on, some of these things.
Yep.
I think Wisconsinites are quite, I wouldn't say spoiled, but they've had a pretty good run with this, considering the market, the size of this market, and any one of these teams we're talking about and everything.
Yes.
I think all that's fair to say. And obviously, talking about what every single talking head is talking about right now when it comes to basketball, and focusing on the idea that Giannis Antetokounmpo has played his last game in Milwaukee as a Buck, and he's going to be moving on. Before we get to that, I want to talk about the end of that game and the knuckleheadedness that is apparent. And in my opinion, just speaking for myself, for those that did not know, Bucks lose the game in a horrible fashion that you're going to be feeling no matter how many championships you win from here out, if you're Giannis or anybody on that team, if you're anywhere, if you care about this game at all, which they do. I have no doubt at all that any single one of those players on the Milwaukee Bucks don't care about basketball. They're not out there just for a paycheck, especially some of these guys on the end of the bench. When it comes to the way that game ended, you've got anarchy on the court, as you do after any game. In the game series, and Tyrese Halliburton's father comes onto the court, walks past Giannis, then takes a good 10 feet in front of him, sees Giannis, and then decides to confront Giannis. Tyrese, I don't know how age, I didn't look it up, but I believe he's in his late 50s, 60s, somewhere around
there. That sounds about right.
And then challenges Giannis Antetokounmpo. And obviously this is a fool's act of any person in their prime with a man of this size and this strength and all of that.
Yep.
But be that as it may, and think about this. Giannis Antetokounmpo right there, clock is done. What is going through his mind? Who knows? But at least you got to think, season's over. My career over here in Milwaukee might be over, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
And then you got this guy in your face. This grown man in your face, acting more like a child than the children, all the kids in the arena put together, confronts Giannis. And Giannis somehow has the control not to push this guy and send him back to Milwaukee, and he'll meet him there and take care of it in-house. it's a fool's move. It's a dumb move. And I'm going to say something incredibly unpopular right now, and I don't care. Had Giannis pushed him, I'd have taken Giannis' side. You lose the senior card when you start acting like a young man. That's a grown man right there. He knows better than that. And don't tell me, as I have talked to plenty of people in this age range about this, that when you're in that age, you don't understand some of the what is given to you, the grace that is given to you. I have a former boxer that I live with. My father knows this better than most. And as soon as he hit a certain age, his hands were retired. because at 60-some years old, my father could still knock out most human beings with one or two punches. But he understands that most people, especially a younger man who's going to be acting a fool, is going to look at him and underestimate him. Or come into this and think that he has to give him grace, which no doubt Tyrese Halliburton's father knew. And there is no way he thought for a second Giannis would do anything. I don't believe for a second. How tough are you when you know that the guy has in handcuffs? How tough are you really being? And you're not acting like a grown man. Tyrese Halliburton is disappointing to me in some ways as the way he has handled certain things. I don't think you fight hate with hate. I don't like a lot of the way he does certain stuff. But I also like his game a lot. And I feel like this, like any time in the stuff we talked about before, and Coach Paul and I were talking about on Monday, when parents get involved with their kids in the wrong way.
Yeah.
There's so many good stories of father and son or mother and how many kids have scored
the Griffies and stuff like that.
How many stories have we heard about it? How many times have you heard a guy scoring a game winning touchdown and the first person he thanks is mom? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million good stories out there, but these ones, man, they get under my skin. I know this because my father is the person that every movie I ever went to, he would yell at the screen and talk to the screen. Jimmy, we're at E.T. He's like, Jimmy, you tell me if you ever see something like that. But when it came to sports, shuts up. He shuts up. He lets his kids play the game. Yeah, he's got thoughts and feelings. He tells them to us in private. He doesn't act a fool in public. If I was Tyrese Halliburton, I'd be embarrassed by that. Well, I wouldn't want my father acting like that.
Well, there's a few things with that. I mean, in my 20 years around the high school game, I have seen so many dads and moms, to an extent, living through their kid's success or making excuses why the kid isn't successful, and it's everybody's fault except for Billy or Susie. Okay, that's not this case. What this case is, however, a guy who thinks because of the success of his son. He's right on the coattails of the success of his son, and he thinks he's above everything because, oh, well, my son's Halliburton. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, I can do anything. Now, what I will say, and I'm tiptoeing it very carefully because I don't want to be misconstrued one way or the other, is that is what I see in the basketball culture.
Oh, yeah.
It has nothing to do with race or anything like that. Getting that out of the question right away for anyone who's, wait a minute. No, it is a basketball culture problem. Mm-hmm. You're starting seeing it trickling down, which will come to the next talking point about the WIAA and everything there. But, and this was set up perfectly that maybe Halliburton from his days at Oshkosh North, they said, hey, we're listening to playmakers. We got to do this.
He's a good local kid.
Yeah, that's right. He is. So my point is there's so many people that talk nowadays and don't expect there to be any repercussions. The keyboard warriors. And this was one where, you know, John Halliburton. Now, I want to hear his side of it, too, because you got it. You have to hear both sides.
Yes.
But that was unprovoked. What in the heck is he doing going on the court after?
That's the luckiest man alive right now.
Yeah,
that's the luckiest man alive right now.
Yeah.
Maybe the yuckiest, too. But
yeah,
lucky,
I was
going to
go with that one. But, you know, I would tell him to his face several things.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say it on the air, but you're riding on the coattails of your son because Lamar Ball. Now Lamar had a professional career. Don't get me wrong, but what was it?
Yeah,
and now unfortunately, what really are his son's careers about? Other than about the same as his.
Yeah.
And I'm not calling them failures because they're somewhere I'll never be.
Well, and that one, not to say that the Balls didn't take advantage of that, but it awfully felt like at more times than not, those two boys, the brothers, were uncomfortable with their dad some of that stuff. Not saying that they're grown men still, but
I
see your point, and I think you're bringing up great points when it comes to basketball, and I think one of the biggest things that holds basketball back on every level, whether we're talking economically or we're talking just the evolution of the game or anything else, it's something that has always hurt basketball, going back to when I was a little kid playing on Tim Hardaway's court, and you couldn't spit on the court, you couldn't be disrespectful, but man, the trash talk that would happen, and the fights that would happen immediately after that because of that trash talking.
The rumble or the punching in the palace there in Detroit a few years ago. I think that was Ron Artest.
Why don't they just, I mean, they ought to be really classy like hockey players and do it during the game.
Well, that's happening more and more, unfortunately, too.
But every sport, my point, every sport has a little of this.
Yes.
I think no sport, though, is it more blatantly obvious, or maybe it's just more talked about than in basketball? But I hear your point about it. I want to get into, and I don't want to spend too much time on him.
Right.
My disappointment in this is also that we're not able to talk more about a Wisconsinite and Tyrese Halliburton really coming of age and really showing that he could.
Oh, leadership.
Wants to, wants to do something here, man. I mean, it's kind of cool to see that.
The way he took that ball right down the lane and just laid it up perfectly with less than 10 seconds ago to get the W, that's what leaders do. And now, unfortunately, do I think he's going to win a title with Indianapolis?
No.
I'm not discounting him and saying that because they beat the Bucks, because I don't care. But I mean, I care, of course, but I don't care. The thing is, he's going to have to go somewhere else. And would that be what I think would be cool? And I'd have to double check my yearbooks here. Wouldn't it be kind of neat to see him, if they could afford it, reunite with Sam Hauser in Boston?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know they had some clashes in high school.
That would be cool, though.
So that would be really cool if they could work together instead of against each other. But the thing is, Indy's going to do what Indy does. They're going to more than likely get beat by the Cavs because that's who they got up next. But that shot, I think that was over Giannis, too.
Yeah.
That shot over arguably one of the best up-and-coming players, Tyrese Halliburton, over currently one of the best players in the world in Giannis. That's what we should be talking about today.
Yeah.
As that was big time. That was huge.
Let your kid have the moment.
Yes.
Let your kid have the moment. Stay in the stands. Yep. Act like a father. Yep. Stay in the stands and let your kid have that moment.
Right.
Now, you know.
And you know what? I will say I give Giannis a lot of credit for not cleaning house. I probably would have started to. You don't do stuff like that.
No.
And, I mean, having restraint when everybody was coming to defend the situation. But then, of course, he had the best comeback of them all.
Yeah.
I've got a ring.
Yeah.
I don't know when you're going to get one.
And speaking of that, now getting to the WIA in a moment, I'm going to give it some names to you in the audience. Quinn Buckner, Bob Denninger, you've got Marquise Johnson, or let me see here, Sidney Moncrief. I want to make sure to mention that. Marquise Johnson, Glenn Robinson, Vin Baker to another level. Then you can make an argument. If somebody wanted to tell me the greatest basketball player of all time was Oscar Robinson, I wouldn't fight with him. The man averaged a triple-double. And, of course, my favorite basketball player of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yep.
All Milwaukee Buck legends.
Yep.
And it's not a stretch to put Giannis Antetokounmpo into that group, especially since he did bring a title.
Oh, yeah.
But if he is gone, I have just one, to me, you got 2 years left on his contract. So no matter what barking he does, if he does, which he hasn't even done yet,
no.
I love how everybody's just assuming that's going to happen. I'm not saying it might not. And if you're betting Vegas odds, I could see why you would bet that. But let the man, I mean, breathe, and then let's see what happens here. He's given you nothing to show that he's a fame chaser or something like
right.
that. He's done everything to show his loyalty to the city of Milwaukee. He's gone out of his way to. I give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt. Don't kick him out the room so fast. But if you're going to kick him out of the room, and I am the Bucks front office, don't even come at me unless you got a top three pick.
Yep.
I don't care about players. I don't care about money or anything like that. I want a top three pick. I don't want anything. Not a fourth, not a fifth. Top three. You're telling me, okay, well, Giannis wasn't a top three pick, or so-and-so wasn't a top three pick. I don't care. I know the NBA. I've watched this sport for 48 years, and very rarely do you get your Jimmy Butlers or Giannis's or guys who are not taken in the top three, top five picks. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you're not bringing in a big free agent. Those days are gone if Giannis is gone. You're not going to be able to land Jrue Holiday. You're not going to be able to land some of these guys. And that's
Lopez, all those guys.
Those are B stars. Nothing against them.
No.
Love those players. You don't win a championship without them.
No.
But we're not even talking about the Kevin Durants or anything. Don't even think about that. You ain't bringing them into Milwaukee without a Giannis. So the only way you get a Giannis is by drafting him. I want a top three pick. If I don't, I got 2 years to sit on this. I got 2 years to sit on this. They didn't trade Otani. And that guy's living and still keeping his job.
Right.
You're kidding? You're telling me that if I sit with Giannis for a year, 2 years, because I don't have to make a move right now. I could wait a year. You know, unless you're coming to the table with a top three pick, save your time. Because the only if I am interested in keeping my franchise afloat, if I'm interested in keeping people coming to these games, I need a face. I need a name. I need something other than the Buck logo. That's sports.
Yeah. And you know, with that, he is the equivalence of what you were saying is when you're doing youth sports, your best varsity player is probably not your best 12-year-old kid on this team. Mm-hmm. Your best varsity player as a senior might be the worst kid on that freshman team right now. And that, yeah, was he a top three pick? You want a top three pick for a guy who wasn't a top three pick? Okay. We want a top three pick for a guy who proved to grow into what should have been a top three pick.
Yeah.
Your draft is hedging bets. A draft is a crapshoot. You don't know what the future is going to hold. And the Bucks definitely, they're scouting. And not even with trail cameras. Just like my, yeah,
that was good.
But what you did there is your talent evaluations came through huge. And now you have arguably one of, if not the best, basketball players in the world on your team. And unfortunately, everyone's kind of sandbagging you, saying he's gone. Maybe he's not. Maybe he says, what can I do, Tom Brady? And what can I, and he's already done it, but what can I do to help you bring more guys here to help me?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's written in the sand for sure that he's gone any more than any Kevin Durant or anybody like that that is either our free agent or not, or you know, got a year or two left in their contract, or the idea of every superstar is unhappy. Dame Lillard stayed in Portland for 11 years, man. I mean, there are guys like that, like Giannis, and that want to stick around. You brought this up before, and it is a perfect segue, so we have to take it, of course. The Wisconsin Intergalactic Interscholastic Athletic Association.
Intergalactic sounds fun, too.
I kind of like it. Galactic. That's a Beastie Boys thing popping in my head. They are now requiring ejected spectators at high school sporting events to take a free online sportsmanship course to return to attending events. The decision, passed by WIA member schools at the 25 annual meeting, aims to address unruly fan behavior. The course is offered by the National Federation of State High School Associations. There's a little bit more breakdown to this, but Michael, your first feelings about this one, we haven't really gotten to talk about
it. I want to hear a little more clarification on it, and I'm not disagreeing with it being done that you got to take the course and whatever, because you got to take courses after you screw up for a lot of things in this world. So I can see that, but I want to know the parameters, because for an example, you could be critical and say that was a bad call. Okay. Is that warranting being kicked out? No, I don't think so. But there are some, and I've seen it, I know Randy has seen it, we've talked about very similar subjects that thankfully, like at Lincoln High School or Assumption, we're way in the corner that no one can really hear anything we have to say, and that's fine. And we're both pretty, well, that's not what we saw, but we'll go with it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a ways away from the game, but okay. You know, we don't tear it down. We don't tear it apart. That what if it's a more courtside situation where we have to set up, or I set up, or he sets up, whatever, and we'll say, well, the call on the floor is a travel. That's what we're going to have to go with. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's what we're going with. You get a thin-skinned official, and, oh, he's out. He's questioning me. That's a hypothetical. Now, I didn't say anything wrong. Randy didn't say anything wrong. It was just saying, hey, I don't know if that's really what I would have called, but whatever. And you're thrown out. So now what? I've got a job to do. Randy's got a job to do. We've got to do that online thing and waste some of our time.
The only thing I'm seeing in the actual paperwork from the WIA, and you can find the complete article at civicmedia.us. Nice reporting by our team over there. I don't see anything other than them saying spectators ejected. So I see it specifically about spectators, and the what can get you ejected, I'm not seeing. So I think that's probably going to be a case-by-case thing. I think one of the – because even when I agree with something, the way my brain works, it can't help but see holes or something
right.
like that.
Oh, me too.
I can't stand it sometimes. But to take your, you know, what you're talking about there, Michael, I always worry about gray areas with things like this, with new rules, new laws, anything right. like that.
Well, just like their NIL too, which is, I know, is another thing we're talking about.
Yeah. So this, I will say that this rule, the amendment, takes effect at the end of May with the publication of the WIA bulletin, which we're kind of referencing here to a little bit. I think that the one thing, I don't think you're going to get anybody that disagrees necessarily with this. I think it's more so questioning how this evolves and what this turns into, because we're going to have this situation happen.
Yep.
It's not as if this will deter anybody. This is just going to, now once people start being punished with it, maybe it will.
Yeah.
But the rule itself, it's not as if the Ten Commandments stopped anybody from doing anything.
Right.
It just told us what you were supposed to do and everything. You should definitely not be doing this. I shouldn't have to tell you not to do this, but in case you need me to write it down, I literally wrote it down. Like, it's literally this. We shouldn't need people, we shouldn't need a rule to say that fans can't yell at referees or any of
right.
this. In a perfect world, we wouldn't need this, but we got it. And with that, like most laws, most rules, any of that, there's a lot that has to be seen to see where this goes. And if this is,
yes.
if this is good, or like a lot of other things, it just needs some tweaking and it'll be okay.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
I don't know what else. I think one other side of this too, and I think about this all the time when people bark about, especially when it comes to politics, but recently with the NFL draft, and a lot of people that I look up to in sports and I enjoy listening to hate the NFL draft. And my question is always, well, what is your answer without it?
Yeah,
I mean, without the NFL draft, okay, you want to get rid of it, fine. But what's the solution
yeah,
after that?
What is it?
Make them all free agents so the Cowboys sign everybody. What do you want to do here? Come to the argument with not just the bark, but with the solution is all I'm saying. They're trying here. They're trying to come up with something. They're trying to do something. We're losing more and more people who want to volunteer and be referees all the time.
Oh yeah,
we're losing more and more of I think of the integrity of sports all the time. It was never about wins and losses. It was never about building up a franchise and stuff or winning championships or anything like that. Sports didn't start that way. That's not where sports began,
mm-hmm.
and it's not what it should be about. It's part of it,
yeah.
and it's part of what makes us insane about it.
Absolutely.
And I will obviously be very guilty of that myself as a sports fan and as a homer and all those things. But at the end of everything, especially when it comes to the high school level, it's got to be about the kids and the game. Anything outside of that, and you are messing up what is going on here. Whether we're talking about fans acting a fool, or we're talking about NIL stuff, Michael.
Yeah, there's just so much gray area that's got to be ironed out. And the thing with this, with the being critical and being of officials and being thrown out of games and the sportsmanship thing, that's the gray area. The one thing I will say with the NIL that the WIA just did, they've outlined that pretty darn well. And what can be and what cannot be, that I don't like the NIL. I think it has ruined college sports. I think it has ruined college football, just like the college football playoff has ruined the bowl season. The transfer portal has ruined it. But I'm not a fan of it. They need to fix it. All of it. And they've taken their steps. Now, the WIA, from what I've read on the NIL version of the high school thing, is there cannot be any references to the school, cannot be wearing school logos, school name, even school colors, from what I understand, even though that's kind of tough. But it could be generic, just being put on, hey, we're going to give you $100 because we're going to use your mug on this poster for wrestling.
It's the old sports games and the old video games when they yeah. couldn't have the rights to the NFL or like baseball or something, so it was like the Acme Joes or something like that. They would just made up teams.
Yep.
That's what these kids are going to be wearing, so just something like that.
It's something like that. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be things that come up, but when isn't there?
Taking this from the Wisconsin Public Radio, a big shout out to them. Love their reporting, their work. The WIAA voted on April 25th to approve a rule allowing high school student athletes to participate in name, image, and likeness NIL deals. The vote was voted 293 to 108. This means that Wisconsin high school athletes can now earn money from endorsements and other NIL opportunities, but they cannot use the school uniform or logos in advertising. This takes effect in May as well. So this was now this is actually the WIAA, and I don't say this all the time, but this is them, I think, not necessarily getting ahead of something, but keeping up instead of getting run over by a topic. Yep. or being 20 years late on something or whatever, like the NCAA is right now.
Yep.
The WIAA sees this and is trying to do something very similar to what I was saying before. It's not just better than nothing. It's not bad. It's not a bad deal. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. And this is going to happen no matter what.
Yes.
Again, the genie is out of the bottle. There's no getting it back in there. I think because I come on the other side of things sometimes with NIL and transfer portal and stuff, it may get lost in the shuffle. I'm not a fan of them either. I'm just a fan of players finally getting some due and some power because they deserve it. Because for the big dawn of sports, in professional sports, I mean, athletes have been taken advantage of. You can give me every single story you want about this and this and this and this great owner or this great owner, blah, blah, blah. Nine times out of ten, the owners don't care about the fans and don't care about you. They care about finishing in the black. If you think differently, I have a bridge to sell you in San Francisco that's really nice, and I think you're going to like it this time of year. It's a fool's game to believe that. To believe that these owners care about you. They wouldn't look twice at you. That's not their business. Didn't get to where they are caring about people.
Yeah,
usually.
But James, here's where I'll argue. I'm an owner and I care about you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, see, that's true. That is true. Or maybe there's one team, maybe there's one franchise we can say a little bit differently about. Actually, there is. There is one right in state. And that's just being fair. When it comes to them doing something, I appreciate that. I appreciate that they're not trying to bury their heads in the sand or any of that. I also think that looking at silver linings here, I think that one thing that you can do, you can take advantage of this, like I believe they should be doing in college more. And hey, boy, you just got a cool deal. You're repping this business over here. We're repping this local car dealership. You got a little money there. I got this class for you. You're not getting that check until you pass this class. You ain't getting a paycheck until you pass this class, this financing class, this class on money and how to handle it and how to use it and how to work it. Here is another learning.
But not launder it.
No, not launder it. No. Another opportunity to, again, what this is about, helping these young kids become great adults. Here's another opportunity we can take where you can't get rid of NIL, but maybe we can use it as a learning tool, as a opportunity here. The argument against NIL oftentimes is scholarships and how expensive those are, how much money it costs to get an education. I ain't fighting against that. But I will say there's another opportunity where, hey, you got this scholarship that's worth this amount of money. You know what that equals in everyday work and how what you would have to, if you didn't spend it on a scholarship, what you would spend it on as a grown adult or any of these things. I get tired of seeing all these talking heads on all these sports networks blaming kids left and right for things that the adult in the room should have had something to say. Not taking any accountability away from these kids, these adults, the 17, 18-year-olds, which unfortunately you got to look at them that way nowadays. They shouldn't be that way, but you got to look at it that way. But so quick to blame the kid, so quick to blame the young person in the room when there's 20 adults in there. And nobody spoke up. They got this person's got parents or guardians or somebody like that. There's got to be something. Blame very seldom falls on one person. And in this situation, it's one of them. It's very similar to the Shedeur Sanders situation, where I, like a lot of other people, saw that situation on its surface and immediately thought of a couple of things that I don't think it turned out to be. two things can be true at once. You can be very, very, very excited about a new job while also nervous because you've never been in this building before and you haven't worked with these coworkers or anything like that.
For sure.
We all know that there's plenty of other examples in life of this. The Shedeur Sanders situation, with him not getting drafted, where you know they had him, for one, I'm more curious about the separation between mock drafts, the people doing those, and the powers that be that actually have the knowledge.
Right.
That's much more of an interesting conversation. The people that scout these players, the people that do these things, they had him in one mindset, and NFL owners had him in another. If you're Mel Kiper, you're more focused on this kid on the field. You're not really paying as much attention to the kid off the field.
Right.
If you're an NFL owner, you've seen Shedeur Sanders your whole life. This kid is nothing that you haven't seen before. I'm sorry, not saying him, not talking about his personality. I'm talking about him as an athlete. His size, his 40, his stats in college.
Yep, you've seen it.
We've seen it. But off the field, you start wondering about that.
Yes.
And those are where questions come up, obviously.
Yep.
Now, there's a million, almost every single player in the NFL has an attitude. Almost every single player in the NFL is cocky, is confident, all those things. I don't believe that is going to keep an NFL owner from, well, you know, all I need is a quarterback, but I'm not going to pick him because of this. I don't think it was that. I think that it's a matter of two things being true at the same time. This kid slipped farther than anybody would have expected, and he also might not be as talented as we thought. He might not be as good as he now. Now, here's the cool thing. He's going to have a chance to prove us all wrong if that's the case.
I mean, well, it's going to be tough when you got 18 guys in a quarterback room.
That's true.
But looking at the 18 guys in that room, he's right.
I wouldn't be too afraid of, well, especially him.
Right.
I'm sure he's not afraid. Maybe Dylan Gabriel a little bit.
A little bit.
But you're not afraid of Joe Flacco is getting ready to collect AARP. You're not. Deshaun Watson is a cowardly punk who nobody should be afraid of. And it's not, even if he does end up starting a game, he's not going to last more than two quarters or two games for that matter. The guy couldn't even handle the off season without tearing something or whatever. He's got one job. He can't even stay healthy then. It's getting thinner and thinner. But you're right. It's no guarantee or anything like that, especially when they draft in the third round a rookie quarterback.
Right. And you know, that's one thing that we can circle it right back to the first topic with Halliburton. Now, I am not calling Deion Sanders a John Halliburton at all. I am not doing that. But the writing's on the wall to an extent. How much are you going to be having Neon Deion in your ear as management and coaching saying, hey, you're not playing my boy right? Now, do you think Deion would have the smart stuff? This isn't my job. This is their job. I was in the business. I know. But, you know, daddy knows best.
Here's what I'll say. I think that he's going to be busy coaching Colorado. I think he's going to be busy recruiting, which is a 24/7, 365-day-a-year job. And I do think that even if he wanted to say something, Deion Sanders, nobody is more business savvy in the NFL, in football, arguably, than Deion Sanders. And he knows how to play the game. He knows how to play the room. And he knows that if he calls up Stefanski in Cleveland, that Stefanski's going to talk to this coach and talk to this coach and talk to this owner, and it's going to spread. And who's giving Deion an NFL coaching job, head coaching job, if he's a malcontent? That's the thing that he's been trying to pull back from to a degree. You notice he's been doing a lot more of the cowboy thing, a lot more of the country thing and stuff, Deion. All of a sudden, wearing a cowboy hat and all that. Primetime wasn't doing that. Deion's trying to lean into something here. He's again, he is a marketing genius. He has been doing this for years. There's a reason he's been doing these things. It's all to get the NFL head coaching job. And I don't think he's going to do it for those reasons, but I will 100% agree with you that just the threat of it could be enough for an NFL owner or an NFL head coach.
Don't want the headache.
Yeah, just even the idea of it, which there's no getting around that there's a possibility it could happen.
It's like, I don't know if LeBron James has younger sons. I don't know his family. I don't really care either. But the thing is, when he finally hangs up the shoes, is he going to be one of those two barking a little bit? I don't know. I hope not. And I'm not trying to make these guys out to be horrible fathers or anything, because I don't believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the ego, the personality is just so huge that, well, look at me. I've got all these rings, which they both have.
Yeah.
Except for John Halliburton. But that's not the point. But all these rings, all these accomplishments, Hall of Famers, first ballot, certified. I don't care when it happens. It's going to happen. there's a lot of clout that goes with that, and there's a lot of ears that are going to listen and probably should listen.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm waiting to see how this one plays out, because I do think that that will play – that's playing something into what the Sanders situation is, mm-hmm. and a possible one with LeBron James.
We'll come back with stories of the show. We'll get into the Green Bay Packers draft class, talking that with Michael and more, and all talking with you. Call up, join the conversation, everybody. 715-424-2600. We'll be back with more Family Natural Foods, Quality Plus Printing, WIRI's Playmakers. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody. We are proudly here thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Michael and James hanging out with you. Call up and join the conversation. We're wide open. Hit us in the numbers. 715-424-2600. We miss your calls. Call up and join us. Playmakers, we speak sport. A couple of quick things I want to get in before we go diving into the NFL draft. Michael, I want to remind everybody that our great friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, got bingo tonight. Doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Go ahead and head on over there. Have a great time and support those that support this community, like our great friends at the Elks Lodge. And another reminder that we will be here on Friday with another edition of Playmakers. Get you ready for the weekend from 4 to 5. Get those sports takes and feelings to us, everybody. Leaving them inside is just bad for your health. It's bad. Don't do it.
No.
I wanted to touch on the Packers draft class with you, Michael. You know, real quickly, first off, big tip of the hat to everybody involved with that draft. Successfully done. Great job by everybody. I when they do get this done with this round robin kind of going around to all these NFL cities, I have no doubt in my mind it will be back in one of the first cities they will take it back to. Well done. Like, just well done by the state and by especially the city of Green Bay.
I think a 5 to 10 year rotation, because they're going to send this internationally eventually. You know that as well as I do.
Yeah.
I don't like it either. I just heard a collective groan.
It sounded like a flying plane from
everybody that's listening that heard that. And I mean, I don't have any inside information more than anybody else, but
it's
going to happen.
Yeah.
But my sister went to it. I unfortunately was not able to go last Thursday, the first day of the draft. I lost my grandmother, so there's a few more important things in my life going on right then. So, we put her to rest, I should say, but either way, just navigating that and taking care of everything. So I unfortunately didn't get to go, but there will be a next time, and I'm pretty darn, and it's just like when Def Leppard closes one of their concerts, we'll see you next time, and there will be a next time.
Yeah.
So when they come back to Green Bay for the draft, unreal.
Mm-hmm.
My sister went. She said it was an amazing experience. There's so many opportunities to win things, do things. She got down on the field to kick field goals.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I've never been on the Lambeau Field. So that's
wow.
Whatever.
Boy, she's got one over on us.
Oh yeah, she does. Awesome. I'm gonna have to beat her next time this year. But you know, I'll tell you what. I've got friends that have gone to Kansas City, Vegas, Detroit. They're going to Pittsburgh next year. They're in Green Bay. They said they're like, yeah, some of us are Packer fans, some are Vikings fans, Eagles fans, Niner fans, whatever, Bears fans. They said it was a collective. Green Bay did it better than everybody else. Now, they had the second, they tied for the second most number of people in a draft with Nashville, which when you have so many people come into your city. Now, granted, you can say which one because it's a smaller populated town in Green Bay. But when you have 600 times that come through, you did something right. You can never have enough bathrooms or something like that. So I don't want to hear any complaining about that. I mean, it's not Soldier's Field where it's just one big bathroom. Sorry, James.
Right.
But, but
I got to take it.
But I'll tell you what. They're going to come back. And the talking heads all over sports media, whether it's Fox, ESPN, NBC, CBS, HBO, whatever, they're like Midwest nice is a thing.
Yeah.
Wisconsin nice is a thing. Green Bay nice. And they're like, people come here and they're like, well, this is just a big party. And I mean, Wisconsin arguably outdrinks every other state in the union on a weekend. Green Bay as a city outdrank everybody else in the world on that Ford, even on one day. And I'm not saying right, wrong, different. It's just a fact.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, the performance that they did, boy, Roger Goodell, you're going to have a hard time not giving Green Bay another crack.
Yeah. First off, condolences to you and yours, and thank you
appreciate
for sharing
it.
That. I want to say right away too, 100% agree with everything you said. Yeah, it's not enough though to be the party city or to everybody to have a good time. They got to also be like, man, they were nice. Man, they were good people there. It's what we talk about around here when we talk about the water ski show, the world's biggest water ski show, and everything. And hey, you got people coming here from out of town. You got people coming here from all over. Kill them with kindness. Treat them nice. Make sure that they want to come back. That's economy. That's money. When you see out of towners, see dollar signs. That is what you should be seeing. I have never understood anything other than that.
The really cool thing was when they had the international one. I remember going when I lived in town and in the area, going to Johnny's Bar for it when the international thing. Now I'm not talking the state one. Mm-hmm. It was the international one, and everybody was business at that, whereas the state ones, it's just a big drunken party for the most part.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but anyways, people went there, and I met Canadians, the Australians, and the Australians, and that was a fun one. It's like, yeah, they talk about the people here. They in Wisconsin, they can drink, rah, rah, rah. And the Canadians are sitting there, and they're the Australians are downplaying, oh, look what we can do.
Yeah.
And the Canadians, voice of reason, as they usually are,
yes,
sat there and said, don't try it. Don't try it. We live next to these guys. Don't try it.
Yeah, they know
what
they're
doing. But it was just—it's just so neat, the people you get to meet. And I got to meet people from every team that was here except the Chinese team, because they were pretty much just locked up in their hotel rooms.
Yeah, they're pretty locked in on most sports.
Yeah, and that's also just the government situation too. But I'll tell you what, it was really neat to see that. And then the compliments saying everybody here was so nice, so professional, so welcoming, so warm-hearted and just kind-hearted, soft-hearted. They loved it. They want to come back just to hang out.
Packers have a couple of undrafted free agents we'll also touch on, and a part of our story of the show is a guy that they're giving a chance to. But I want to get into the actual players drafted. You and I talked a little bit about Matthew Golden already. Obviously, a nice pick and a great fan pick, no matter what. But just a nice pick, a nice addition on that team. Speeder, a guy who is going to go get it. He's a guy that goes for jump balls, doesn't just need the ball to fall into his hands perfectly, and a nice addition to that team.
Yeah, you want to take a look at it. The first three picks, the two wide receivers, one from TCU, one from Texas. They both got speed to kill.
Yeah,
they both got hands. They got good hands, speed to kill. They know what they're doing. They got leap. I like it. And then, of course, the O-lineman from, I believe that was
North Carolina.
Yeah,
Anthony
State.
Melton, the number two pick, number 54 overall. Anytime you're grabbing a lineman that early, I like
that's
it.
That's a mammoth of a man, too. Yeah. And then the one that they got from Clemson, I want to say, late.
Yeah.
The number of games that he started and just the stats that they spit out there, those are good picks.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Savion Williams, number third round pick, number 87 overall, wide receiver out of TCU. Michael's talking about there. This kid is a Cordell Patterson bit. I think also Deebo Samuel, because he's a three down receiver. He can block. He can do it all. In some ways, I like him more than Golden for this offense. In some ways. Golden's going to get you some touchdowns. He's going to do what...
He's a threat over the top.
And I think he's got some things that Christian Watson didn't have. And I don't want to say anything negative about him necessarily. This is just the facts. But the Savion Williams is kind of a complete wide receiver. And he's got not only all of that going for him, but he's, one of those three-down receivers, just like we used to talk about with running backs. Can you stay on the field all three downs? Can you block? Can you catch? Can you run? All of that. This kid does it all. I mean, he's a Swiss Army knife. And the way Matt LaFleur likes to call an offense, where it almost doesn't matter what position you're playing outside a quarterback, you're going to be doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
You can run jet sweeps. You can run end rounds.
That's a nice pick.
You can do anything. And those two receivers have the speed. They have the route running ability. They have the hands that you send them on goes. You got two guys that can probably do something pretty important.
Baron Sorrell, edge out of Texas, came in the fourth round. And then in the fifth round, Colin Oliver, edge out of Oklahoma State. Then you had in the sixth round, 198th pick, Warren Brinson, defensive tackle out of Georgia. Just looking at these three, all interior defensive linemen. You're not going to hear a lot of arguments from people anytime you grab a lineman or a guard or a lineman on offense or defense. That's usually never a bad thing to do unless your team has some abundance of them, which very few NFL teams have. I think the biggest complaint I've seen, whether it's from fans or quote-unquote experts, is, well, where are the corners? Why didn't they grab more corners? There's such a need for corners. I want to say real quickly, you guys cover this draft better than anybody. You know why they didn't draft corners. You're drafting, first off, usually the best player available. And if you've got a six-round grade on a corner, and you're in the third round, or the fourth round, or the fifth round, you're not grabbing that corner. Like, it seems ridiculous to me. I don't disagree with the statements on either side, but I also, like, hey, what are you going to do? All the guys you wanted are off the board. You got to fill some holes here, and you still got holes on offensive line and defensive line. So why not fill those if you can't grab the sixth round corner or something? Some of these picks earlier on, there were good corners available, and then I would have said, well, maybe you would have been better off grabbing a corner than here. But it wasn't a deep draft for cornerbacks either.
No, but I think there's also something to be said that's not being said. Jair might not be going.
Oh, that was going to end on that. Yeah,
I'm sorry to jump the shark here,
that's
buddy.
Fine, but, that's fine. We were thinking the same thing.
But that's the thing that said that both sides aren't really saying much. And it's I saw a clip of Jair talking about being a little more professional, and he gave you the inflection and a kind of a wink with it, and I laughed. But it's man, if he wants to stay and they can iron things out. You don't need, I mean, it's always nice to have one, don't get me wrong, but you don't need to do that shopping. You're probably one forced turnover and one fourth down conversion from possibly getting over that NFC title game hump, because yes, I'm a Packer fan, but I do think Green Bay has the firepower offensively, and I think they have the guts defensively, the fortitude to stop teams, and we saw that last year. Look at the safeties. A lot of people are really quiet now, but the linebackers, it was the down linemen. I think they are pretty well, we'll see what the pass rush does. Van Ness and Gary got to kind of get back to form. But these new guys, they're new. They're going to disrupt because you don't have a lot of film on them. And then offensively, man, they're filling up bodies with what they need to do.
My issue with Jair Alexander since college has never been about his talent.
Right,
very talented.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even necessarily about him not being able to stay healthy, whether it's college or the pros, because that's something that oftentimes is out of people's hands.
Right,
it is the guy who his team is down by two touchdowns and he's doing a swashbuckling move, knocking down a first down pass. Like, just what are you doing? Like, and this is him in year three. This isn't a young man. This isn't somebody who just came into the NFL. That's a guy where it's all about him.
Yep.
And that is the opposite of everything I've ever seen in the Packer locker room.
Yep.
I mean, since I was a little kid. You can talk about some of the egos that have been in that locker room, from James Lofton to Brett Favre or anything like that. And we've heard some horror stories. And we've heard some stories. But I never heard of a guy like that who is that kind of disruptive to where they're kicking him out of they're not letting him play in games because of how disruptive he is. He's
right.
Messing up. How do you mess up a coin toss? Who messes up a coin toss? Honestly, if he never played another NFL down strictly because of that, I'd be perfectly fine with it. I'd be like, well, you know what? He's a very talented young man. Everybody deserves second chances, but he messed up a coin toss. Okay, yeah. You just don't. How do you do that? What in your brain tells you that's a good idea? That's not a good decision maker to me. Mm-hmm. That's not somebody who I want when I need maybe the most important position on defense that nobody talks about being the most important position on defense is your island corner.
Yep.
Your corner that can stand on an island.
The old Revis Island.
Yes, yes. Everybody knows we need corners, but they don't talk about the type of corner you need nowadays in this NFL. Micah Robinson was a corner picked by the Packers. They did this with their Pittsburgh pick in the seventh round, 237. A guy who was not necessarily on anybody's board. He was not even in the top 100 or top 60 corners out there or anything like that. But then if you look at his stats and
it's
you
impressive.
See, yeah, Valentine played nearly 700 snaps as a rookie last year, Carrington Valentine for the Packers.
Yep.
So it's not like they can't take a kid off the court or, off the field and put him into real live action. And they're not afraid to do it. They're not afraid to put these guys in these positions. I mean, I don't, I again, I understand if people have issues with the pick. I don't know what better talent there was out there when you're talking about coaches are grabbing for scheme.
Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, right. Oh, I'd have loved to have seen that. And we got John Williams to talk about in these undrafted picks. We'll get to them when we come back after our final time out of this Wednesday edition of Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WIRI. Michael and James here to take your sports takes and feelings. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. We're talking the Packers draft class, and I just real quickly, because I want to get your grade, I want to get what you think of the class as a whole. Adding to the conversation, the undrafted picks that the Packers have made, running back Amar Johnson and Jelaine White, both running backs, Julian Fleming, wide receiver, Brant Banks, tackle, offensive lineman J.J. Lippe, defensive lineman Nazir Stackhouse, who should be given an NFL contract just for that name. Linebacker Jameson Dumas Johnson and Tyron Harrington at corner, and a DB Jonathan Baldwin. To be honest, not a lot of names that I noticed from college, and I watch a lot of college football.
I'm interested to see what that Dumas Johnson.
Yeah.
I want to see what he does, and if he makes a team, and if he makes becomes a star, because then we got to get in a recording studio here and Dumas Johnson.
Yes. Yes, uh-huh. Absolutely. It looks like the type of linebacker that'll fit real good with Edgerrin Cooper, 6'1", 238. He played at Kentucky last year, but he was a Georgia product. He transferred. Our story of the show is involving the Green Bay Packers in the NFL draft, and that alone is a great story of the show. But it gets better because Northeastern Wisconsin was a willing host for the event, of course, and the Packers have decided to bring in a local for the camp. UW lacrosse wide receiver Jake Stutter has been invited to try out at the Packers rookie mini camp. I always think it's a cool story when these things happen.
Yeah.
And don't look lightly at it. I mean, there are at least 10 examples I think of off the top of my head of guys who did this and got a good 5-10 year career maybe out of it. So, yeah. You know, that's a great paycheck. We'll see what happens for that kid. Excited for him. So, Michael, all of these picks put together right in front of you, what is your take from the draft? What is your feeling about the Packers draft class?
Green Bay addressed all their needs. You got two wide receivers, you got 2-3 offensive linemen, you got 2 edge down linemen for the defense. You needed help at every single one of those spots, and you got it.
I didn't have a lot of fears of them not making a touchdown with the draft. The draft itself, the event itself, I felt pretty confident Green Bay was going to do good. I didn't expect it to be as big as it was, and I was hoping it would be. I kind of had a little bit lower expectations about attendance because I wanted to be surprised, and I was. It was a great part of it. I didn't know if they would nail the draft. Coming into this draft, all the talk was how they failed on the first round, second round, all this, and all that talk and blah, blah, blah. But I, again, as a person who's looking at this from the outside looking in, gave that front office a bit of the benefit of the doubt. And mm-hmm. I did think that they might do something splashy or fun. I didn't have fun to the audience. Oh. While also obviously being, you know, good for the team.
Yes.
I was blown away by them, the not just the Matthew Golden pick, but then to come back and grab another receiver.
Yep.
That the top 3 picks were focused on offense.
Yep.
I thought that right away was almost a home run, and it was going to be hard to fail the draft after that. I give them at least a B+. At least a B+.
I was thinking A-, B+. I thought they did very well.
It's a fantastic draft when you look at things. There's every single draft, even Mel Kiper's A+ draft class, is going to have some holes in it.
Oh, yeah.
You only get so many picks, and anybody you wanted went 2 rounds ago. It's where a lot of this goes. It's how you adapt when the guys off your board are gone, and you got to, you know, scrape and look, and where are your scouts pointing you and everything. And I love the late rounds for that. Personally, I wasn't blown away or even liked a lot of the Bears draft class, but I love some of their late round picks.
Yeah.
That I got really excited about because that's where they earn their paycheck. That's where they really there
the diamonds
are,
in the rough.
There are a billion NFL rosters out there right now that are filled with their second and third stringers, that guys that are going to count on late in the season. They're going to be needing to play some reps because this is the NFL now. There is no more Iron Men. There's no Iron Men anymore in the NFL. And understandably, they're playing more games than any athlete has ever played in football.
Yeah, they're bigger, stronger, faster. They hit harder. I mean, nothing against anybody else. But, boy, you... the hits that Nitschke and Butkus delivered, the steel curtain, those were something. But those athletes still weren't as big, strong, fast as what they are now.
Even if I took Lawrence Taylor, who was just a couple eras later, I would say that, oh my God, look at the evolution of those two. The two of my favorite linebackers, if not my two favorite linebackers outside of Mike Singletary, that you mentioned there, Nitschke and Butkus. And then you look at Lawrence Taylor, and even to Mike Singletary, who was a little undersized, but a freak of nature as an athlete on speed and agility and all that. My God. And that was 30 years ago. Look at these kids. It's insane what happened. So it's not surprising that they don't stay healthy all the time.
Right.
You need good bodies. Well, I like these picks that they had in the late rounds.
Yeah, and I mean, I've always gotten down on J.J. Watt for overtraining, and that's why he always got hurt. But also, you're pushing what humans physically can do. You're asking a guy to carry that much muscle. I don't believe that's necessarily a normal thing, but look at Gilbert Brown. You know, he's my height, and he's twice as big as I am, and I'm a big man. So, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, but, it's just exciting to see what's going to be happening. And then we got the schedule coming up on the 14th.
Yeah.
I get to plan out my fall.
Oh, yeah, I cannot wait.
That's perfect.
I want to send a quick shout-out to Hunter Waller, one of my favorite Badgers. Got drafted in the 7th round by the Indianapolis Colts. Linebacker. Got picked up as a linebacker.
Yeah.
Started thinking about it. He's going to have the mind of a safety. Man, imagine him in coverage positions and every. Yes. Like, oh, this could be exciting. Indy had a sneaky good draft. I don't like admitting that, but they got the tight end I wanted. They got a couple of players I like. Not a bad draft class for them.
No, not bad at all.
It was a fun draft and a fun show. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us,
Mike. No problem, buddy. See you soon.
Yeah, you guys have a great night. Enjoy the music. We'll talk to you on Friday's edition of Playmakers.